This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always forever we begin by praising Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love, our greetings, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To all the Anbiya and to all of their family members and all those who follow them until the end of time May Allah bless us to be amongst them آمين والحمد لله It's been difficult It's 2 months now Almost The conflict and the crisis in Palestine. I know for many people there might be a sense of fatigue, a sense of seeing these images constantly and waiting for an outcome, waiting for something positive. And you'll find in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the believers that do not think when something bad happens to you, it is necessarily bad. Without a doubt, the death of children, the death of people, the bombing of people is bad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's view of things are a lot bigger than poverty, sickness, life and death. Allah's view is the akhirah. Allah's objective is the Jannah. Allah's objective is eternal happiness. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Aisha in the time of her slander, do not think this is bad for you, it's good for you in the long run. And can we take something positive from this crisis? Is there something that we can benefit from? And inshallah we talk about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about calamities, catastrophes, so that a good outcome may be achieved. The Battle of Mu'ta, is where the Muslims for the first time fought a superpower, the Sahaba. They were sent to fight a Arab tribe who had killed a Muslim ambassador. The Nabi sent him with a letter, and this tribe killed this ambassador. So the Nabi sent an army, a small army, a battalion, to discipline this tribe. When they got there, this tribe was allied with Rome. Were the superpower of the time. And so the Sahaba, not intending to fight the superpower, found themselves in a situation where they faced off with the Romans. And the Sahaba were without the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did not attend the campaign. Because it wasn't expected to be so severe. And so the Sahaba decided, what should we do? Should we return? Should we fight? Should we wait for instructions? And Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Ansar, he gives a speech. And he says, in the midst of this crisis, this calamity, he says, O people, by Allah, what you do not want is martyrdom. But it is actually what you should be wanting. Your objective should not be life or death, it should be Jannah and to be a shaheed. Everybody makes a dua. Min al-Nabiyyin, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada. We all make dua. I want to be from the Shuhada. Allah has presented this thing before you now. We do not fight. So he says to the Ummah and he says to all of us, in war, we know this, we do not fight because we are more in number. We don't get victory and defeat because of our numbers, or our weapons, or our horses, or our cavalries, or of the enemy, but because of the religious power that Allah has granted us. Our fight is a moral and a just one. So go and fight. And you will have, Allah promises, you will have one of two things. Whenever you stand up for something which is good, whether you're in Palestine fighting Israel, whether you're here speaking out against oppression, whether you are boycotting a certain company, whether you are speaking up in your corporate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you'll have one of two successes, but you will be successful. Either you would win, Allah will give you victory, or you die and you get martyrdom, and you get even the bigger victory. So then he reminds the Sahaba, remember the Battle of Badr. We only had two horses and we won. In the Battle of Uhud, we had one horse. And if it is written in the Qadr of Allah that we'll beat the enemy, then it is as Allah promised, it's going to happen. Allah's plan will come to pass. And Allah will not break His promise. And if martyrdom is written in your taqdeer, then alhamdulillah, Allah has given you a great reward to get to Jannah. Ultimately, we see things as calamity. Allah sees it as an opportunity. So let's see five benefits or five instances where Palestine is actually winning. In spite of, and Allah make it easy, it's easy for us to say that when it's not our children being dug out of rubble. But five things which show that Palestine is winning. The first point, and this is very clear, the complete utter failure of a country which believed it to be invincible. As we said, September, not too long ago, they were bold enough to say that the Palestinian cause is dead. We don't even worry about the Palestinians. We're not concerned about them anymore. And never before did the Israelis look so powerful, but look at them now. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And do not let those who disbelieve ever think that because we extended their time, we allowed them, it was better for them. It was لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. It was a good thing. Allah says, I did not give them victory and success because it was good for them. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ. We only extended it for them so that they may increase in their destruction, in their sin. And for them is humiliation, a humiliating punishment in the dunya and the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. And if you read the Quran, you read the Bible, you read the Old Testament, the Torah, a common theme throughout is that the bad guy always loses. And the bad guy is always stronger, and it's always David and Goliath. Goliath always loses. So I don't know why any country thinks that if I am unjust, I will succeed. Eventually, you will fail. And it's just a matter of time, whether it is now, whether it is in the future. But ultimately, Israel will fall. It will fall. We don't have to even like chant it. It's going to happen, because unless it changes. But this is the promise from Allah. And so Allah mentions that. And again, it's to think about this. The fourth most powerful army in the world is not fighting another army. It's not even fighting another country. It's fighting a group of civilians, and it cannot win. For 1 month, with the most advanced technology, planes, tanks, and it can't win. All those people that it's killed, how many of them are actually Hamas fighters? How much of their objectives have they achieved? And so it shows with every passing day, their humiliation and their failure becomes clear. And so Allah is defeating them. And they have lost so much of their support that they had before. And the world is condemning them. And subhanAllah, we are happy that even in South Africa this week, I don't know if you're following the news, that it was voted in Parliament that South Africa will cut ties and close the embassy with Israel. It was something which our Parliament, whether it's going to be action by the government, Allah Alam, but it was a statement made by our Parliament. And we are like a non-Muslim country. We've stood up on moral grounds and said that we are against what's happening in Israel. And there are many, many more countries. If you look at the list of countries, every day, more and more people, more and more governments are turning against Israel. So whatever happens at the end of this conflict, and we make dua that peace comes, the damage that it's done to the oppressor and the tyrant in the eyes of the world is irreversible. Irreversible. They have lost so much credibility that they are now known as an apartheid state, not by us globally. They are known words like genocide, crimes against humanity. These things are being taken to court. So this is the beginning. This is the beginning of Allah unraveling their power bit by bit. The second victory, alhamdulillah, for the first time in 75, 78 years, it's genuinely seen that the tide is turning on the ground towards Palestine. For the first time, now that people are not being indoctrinated by fake news and propaganda, they get to see now on their phones live what is really happening. Humanity is making the decision, and they are standing with the oppressed against the oppressor. This graph is very interesting, that since October, if you look at the number of pro-Palestinian versus pro-Israeli support in social media, it's more than double pro-Palestinian. It's not just Muslims, this is globally. The amount of social media propaganda and billions being funded against Israel is completely overrun, overshadowed by the amount of shares that you and I are doing. Not coordinated, not funded, but just people sharing their views, sharing the story, sharing the pictures. It is changing the narrative. Never before has Palestine received this. So while we again see the trauma, on the other hand, Allah is giving victory in a way which we can't understand. And we see on the streets hundreds of thousands of people in the biggest capitals of the world marching. Didn't see that before. And this is something which people, the governments are taking note of. It shows, and that leads to the next point. We also, the strength that Palestine has given all of us, shows who really has power in this world. Because of the people marching on the streets, governments who are signing treaties with Israel are cancelling those treaties. Not because they care about the Palestinians, let's be frank, those governments don't really care about Palestine. They care about staying in power. But they have realized, I better answer to my people in Cairo. I better answer to my people in Tehran or in Istanbul. And if I don't do what the people's, I'm not going to put myself on the line. Governments are changing their stance because they realize the strength is in the people. Corporations are forcing to change their stance because as mighty as they are, their billions mean nothing without customers. They don't want to. This week, subhanAllah, you know, I work at a certain organization. A major corporation basically came cap in hand, worried that about their certification. Tiny certification. But if Muslims boycott a certain company, and I asked this executive directly, what does the certification mean to you? How much is it worth? Because in terms of rands, you'll be very shocked what halal certificates go for. You'll be shocked. You'll actually cry. How is that? So your nikah certificate probably costs you more. Right? And he said, you know, if I lose my certificate, if we lose our certificate, we don't just lose a certificate, we lose an entire community. A whole segment. Whether it's the granny baking a cake, whether it is the kids eating a chocolate, we lose an entire demographic, millions and millions. And what I realized at that moment is the power is in the hands of the people, not corporations. Without the people, there are no political rulers. Without the people, without customers, you don't have companies that think that they are invincible. Without your followers, your influences mean nothing. And so really, the Palestinians are teaching us that it is the people on the ground that will dictate what happens up there. And if the people are geared in a certain way, victory is in that side. And that's why this, look at this beautiful hadith. The Nabi says that Allah himself says, Allah says, seek my pleasure. Allah says, make me happy through the weak amongst you. How you treat the weak amongst you. For verily, you are granted rizq provisions and you are granted victory through them. Allah gives you victory through the weak. Allah gives you strength through the weak. How you treat the weak amongst you in your society. And the Nabi says, indeed, Allah supports this ummah through the weak members by their supplication, by their prayer, and by their sincerity. And so this entire ummah is in a weak state. This entire ummah is in a broken state. And Allah took the most broken, the weakest in terms of financial or in terms of dunya perspective. And they are building the entire ummah. They're strengthening the entire world. It was the jump start that we needed. And it's not just for us. Something for those of you who are online, you would see a strange phenomenon. How many non-Muslims are embracing Islam? Just us here, our Bukab hub, the Buranul hub, we've got a few Palestinian flags. I was informed by the office that they're getting unprecedented amount of calls by non-Muslims asking more about Islam. They have literature about Islam. We want to learn more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening hearts that would never have thought about Islam through this. Yes, people are dying, it's sad. But Allah is giving life to people who are completely dead to Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that while they are fighting, yuridu an yutfi anur Allah, that they are fighting hard, spending billions to extinguish the light of Allah. Wa ya'ba Allah illa an yatimma nurahu. But Allah refuses that His light will be extinguished, except that He'll perfect His light, although the disbelievers dislike it. That no matter how much how many armies you have, how much propaganda you have, you can earn, subhanAllah, they're holding all the cards in the deck, but they can't win. They've bombed and, you know, done everything they humanly possibly could do. But this ummah will not go away. And Islam who continue to spread and become stronger. Subhanallah. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing. That if you follow again, if you look at TikTok, how many non-Muslims, and you know what they do? They will watch a video of a Palestinian. The man is kissing the body of his child that has just died. And he won't be screaming and he'll sing Allahu Akbar, he'll be praising Allah. His iman, his raw iman will come through. And you're watching this wherever you are in the world and you think, how is this possible? How can a person lose his house, his whole family, everything in a split second, but he's still praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He still has the composure to go and make salah. And he, with his grief and his tears, he will not say, my daughter, my son, they said they have been made shaheed in Jannah. So for a person who doesn't know deen, does not know religion, he lived a life just going to work, coming home, planning my next holiday. He looks at this and he thinks, what strength does this man have? If I lose my job tomorrow, my life falls over. This man lost everything, but he's got a better contentment than I have. How is this possible? So then it forces them to open up the Quran. What is this book? What is this religion that these people have? And for the first time, people are experiencing, seeing the sweetness of Islam, which Allah has given us for free, basically. They are seeing it for the first time. Thousands and thousands of people are embracing Islam. As I said, I was shocked to think that here, in the Phuka, basically the middle of nowhere, that non-Muslims are asking, don't you have classes for people wanting to understand more about Islam, want to know more? We're interested. As Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, that He sent His messenger with the true religion, لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, so that it may become apparent. We don't have to fight about it. By itself, it will become apparent to be the truth over all other ways. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, that even though the enemies will hate it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that this religion prevails. So we said, number one, it is clear the enemy is failing. And if I was in Tel Aviv, with all the money and all the power, I sent my army in, I've bombed from the sky, and I still can't win, I must start really thinking, like, what do I need to do to extinguish these people? We've seen the global narrative changing in favor. The human, it's not a Muslim narrative. The Muslims have been saying this for 75 years. The Muslim world has always been behind Palestine. But now what we're seeing is people, whether whatever religion, they're on the side of the truth. So we see that this is a moral fight. And number three, we're seeing how people are embracing Islam. And we see how this, how people are turning towards Islam, turning towards this religion, and that the strength of the man on the road, that you have the power to topple governments. You and I have the power to topple corporations. And we should realize that. That they serve us. They serve us. We serve Allah, but they serve us. And if they don't do what is in the interest of society, we will replace them. They can't control the masses. That's another thing we've learned. But the most important one, I think, alhamdulillah, as we said, this ummah is in a coma. It's in a paralysis. It's in an ICU. The ummah is not going to die. We know that from the Nabi Sallam, he made a dua, Ya Allah, let never an enemy destroy this ummah completely. And Allah accepted that dua. And he said, Ya Allah, I make dua that this ummah is not destroyed by a natural disaster. One earthquake, we're all gone. Allah accepted that dua. This ummah will not end through one massive natural disaster. And he made dua, Ya Allah, that there not be divisions and fighting between us. And Allah did not accept that dua. Will not accept that dua. That is going to happen. And it is happening. So this ummah is in a low place. We are with all, not, as I say so many times, it's not because we lack the numbers, or we lack the wealth, or we lack the expertise. Some of the smartest, brightest, strongest people in the world is in this ummah, is in this community. But there's something missing. It's like, as I said, we're in a coma. And sometimes we need a jump start. You know, you need that shock to wake you up. And it's sad that it had to take like 5,000 dead Palestinian children for us to wake up as an ummah. And Allah says, in the battle of the trench, when the Muslims were completely surrounded and looked like things were over, Allah says, at times like that, when Allah takes away all your sense of security, your sense of what's, and you go, you only have Allah left. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that in Rasulullah is a good example for you. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ, that if you want Allah and the Akhirah, He's a good example. And those who remember Allah. وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ, Allah says, this is a true believer. When you see the enemy stacked up against you, when the world has surrounded you, when you have nowhere to go, you only have Allah. قالوا, what do you say? هَذَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ رَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is exactly as Allah had promised. This, Allah told us. This dunya is just temporary. That your money, your job, your kids, those are distractions of what is really important. And sometimes you need that wake up in terms of where are we going, what are we doing, what's happening. That wake up is not nice. And when we see it, we say, this is the truth, this is the reality. وَمَا أَوَزَادَهُمْ إِلَىٰ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا تَسْلِيمًا. And in this calamity, actually, what did he do? It increased them in their iman and their submission to Allah. All of us, alhamdulillah, I hope that this increased everyone, maybe 1% in our iman. We did a little bit more. So it took, unfortunately, sadly, the death of 5,000 Palestinian children for our iman to increase. Their sacrifice wasn't just for Masjid al-Aqsa or for land or for a country. It is for the entire ummah to wake up and think, you know, I need to do better. I need to be better. There's a bigger fight than my day-to-day life. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That inshallah this episode will abate. People are already becoming tired. They say, now it's time to change the khutbahs and perhaps it is time to talk about other things. But these things are reminders for us that I can't just keep going and doing the same thing for the next 30, 40, 50 years until I die. I'm part of a bigger issue, a bigger purpose, a bigger challenge. My life has meaning. My time on the dunya must count for something. When I leave the dunya, I shall come in a certain way. I will leave in the same way. But what did I leave behind? What did I fix of this ummah? What good did I do? That's the purpose of being a Muslim. That's ultimately what Allah wants. What can I show to Allah on the day of Qiyamah? Can I only show that I've spent day in, day out at the office, day in, day out accumulating money, day in, day out planning my next holiday, day in, day out just trying to pay the bills? Is that all that I can offer Allah on the day of Qiyamah? Or is there something of goodness that I've offered? And that is what this does. These times, these calamities, they take away all the unnecessary things in your life. And so we ask Allah to grant us to be part of this, be a revival. Not just a momentary wake up and we go back into the coma. May this be a genuine revival of the ummah. May this be the generation that we will tell, and our kids and grandkids will ask, how did you liberate Masjid? Like we talk about Salahuddin, how did he do it? They'll talk about this generation. How did you guys do it? Alhamdulillah, hopefully this is that spark. This is not just a flash and will disappear, but it's a genuine spark that will make the change. But it requires all of us to be part of it. And at the very least, we make dua for it, Ya Allah. Grant us strength, grant us success. May Allah make easy for the people in Palestine and throughout the world. May Allah grant shifa'a to those who are sick. May Allah grant those who are injured shifa'a. And those who have died, may Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Just a few announcements. Alhamdulillah, we've got guests from overseas. We welcome them to the masjid and we welcome them to Cape Town. And then there's quite a few members of the congregation and they'd like to remain anonymous but quite sick. You never know the people that you shake hands with and you smile with, what's happening behind the scenes at home. And sometimes even now you get a message and subhanAllah, I didn't know someone is going through such difficulty and sickness. We ask Allah to grant them shifa. We ask Allah subhanAllah to make easy whatever difficulty. Everybody has their challenges. May Allah make it easy for you. Whatever challenges you're going through, family, financial, sickness, may Allah grant, make ease and grant us all a bit. Let tomorrow be better than today and may our best days lay ahead. Ameen. Ameen. Just another few announcements. The BK PAG, Book Up PAG, right? They're having a march or a protest at 5 o'clock at the corner of Beit Nkrah and Whale Street in support of Palestine. Alhamdulillah, we call Umrah out. I mean, it's Alhamdulillah, it's December time, which is Umrah and Nikah season. So either you go for Umrah or you get married, one of the two, you must decide. Right, so for those who are going for Umrah, it's cheaper to go for Umrah, trust me. Right, so Umrah, inshallah. Umrah class, we're having an Umrah class next week, Sunday, the 3rd of December, for anyone who's interested. And then afterwards, we'll have our fiqh of marriage, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.